The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Parents want their children to grow up to be independent, self-confident, happy, successful, and productive adults. To achieve this goal, it is imperative to know how to guide your children to believe in themselves and to succeed by following their inner sense of integrity. So how do we raise our children to be all that they can be, and what are the skills we need to mentor and guide them? We will hear exactly how to do this from an experienced business professional with an exceptional record of leadership. He has mentored and guided many business leaders to reach beyond their comfort zone and use the same principles with his children with very impressive results. This is Straight Up with Chris, real talk for business and parenthood, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. I'm Chris Efesiou. Chris Risi, author of Step Up and Play Big, began his 25-year-plus career in the life insurance industry, joining U.S. Life in 1974 as Director of Personnel. During his career at U.S. Life, he held a number of executive positions as he progressed from Vice President of Human Resources to President, CEO, and a member of the Office of the Chairman and the Board of Directors. U.S. Life was acquired by American General Corporation, a $3 billion deal he quarterbacked, and he remained with AGC as president and CEO and a member of the board of directors till 1998. Chris is an experienced business professional, as I said before, with an exceptional record in leadership. He mentors and guides executives and business leaders to find their stretch point, again, stretch point, to learn the full measure of their capabilities. He helps them to master being comfortable, feeling uncomfortable. That's a concept we all want to hear about. And he has, as I said before, applied the same principles to his children. And it is indeed a pleasure to have him as my guest today. Chris, welcome.
Hey, Chris, thank you. Appreciate being here. I appreciate you asking.
Chris, please set the stage for our listeners by giving us a bit of your background.
Well, I've spent, 35, 40 years in the corporate world, and I enjoyed it immensely. I was blessed. And I started out in when they called it the personnel department, and worked my way up to eventually become president, CEO, and chief operating officer of U.S. Life Corporation, as you mentioned in your opening. I used my personnel background, or now human resources, as a springboard because, you can have the most effective strategies, you can have the best product, but if you don't have the right people in the right place with the right skills to execute on that, you're not going to be successful. So, I was blessed during that time, and when we sold the company to American General, it was the right thing to do for our shareholders. We created significant shareholder value. And then I took a step back and said, well, gee, I'm 49 years old, what can I do differently? And what can I do that would, be different, if you will? And I ended up in the business coaching arena. I've been married now. It was my 40th anniversary was this past August. And as I often say, I now have tenure. And So she has to fill out forms and things of that nature, and there has to be hearings if she wants to get rid of me. But my lovely wife Paula has been a big fan of mine for the 40 plus years that we've known each other. We have three sons, three grandchildren, and two more grandchildren on the way next year.
Oh, congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
So your entire career you have been at an executive level and a coach to senior executives.
That's correct.
How did it come about to applying that knowledge to children? And I know that obviously this subject is very near and dear to my heart because that's the way I parented my own daughter, but I kind of went along figuring out the way as I went about parenting her, leaning back to certain business principles.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously have a much more well-configured executive type, business type of approach, which, not to my surprise, it is seamlessly transferable to children.
Yeah, children, much to the chagrin of parents, children have their own clock and agenda. And it never really is in sync with the parents, in terms of what expectations we have for our kids, things that we think they should do or shouldn't do, and where we might like to see them as opposed to where they might be the happiest. So it's a real fine line that you have to walk. And, you know, when I work with business clients, you know, the first thing we need to do is assess where we are. And it's always good to stay in touch with your kids as to where they are at a given point in time in their life. Maybe they might think that's crowding them and so forth, but there's lots of ways to, you know, just engage them in conversation, talk about what things are on their mind, things they're enjoying and so forth. Because if you have clarity, and that's an important word, if you have clarity as to where you are, Chris, you're then able to determine where you want to go. What you want your children to do is to have the best possible ride from where they are today to eventually where they will end up in their career, their personal lives, and so forth, recognizing that that ride has some ups and downs. And how they learn to handle the downs as well as the ups will be critical to their, you know, to their long-term happiness and the happiness of those that, you know, become their family as you move along. So, again, a vision, you know, knowing where you are and a vision of where you want to go. And we don't have to go out too far. I like to, you know, stay in short intervals, no more than 2-3 years out at best. And I use the example of our youngest son, Andrew, after his first year of college, Andrew was at a crossroad, if you will, as to which way he was going to go. And him and I had the opportunity to have a nice discussion on a fishing trip we took once, about how do people, you know, what do you think people think of you? How do people respond to you? And it wasn't a good description, and he recognized that. And I said, well, gee, what do you want to be? You know, how do you want people to describe you, you know, 24 months, 36 months out when you graduate as a senior? And that led to him establishing some goals and creating a vision of where he wanted to go.
Now, this is a freshman in college. And
right.
Obviously, he is somewhere between 18 and 20 years old.
That's correct.
Does this approach, creating a vision, does this apply to younger children?
You know, yeah, but in a more simplified way. You know, I remember I used to coach Little League with my older boys, and, we'd be sitting there, and I would say, well, gee, you know, at the end of this season, where would you like to be? How would you, you know, what positions do you think you'd like to play? And, as soon as you can get kids, you know, we don't want to make this like a 10-decimal point, highly complicated event, but as soon as you can get your kids to think about things they might want to accomplish or achieve, and it could be simple as, you know, learning to ride a bike without training wheels. That in itself creates a vision, a picture in the child's mind as to what they're going to aim for. And then your role as a parent, at least in my mind, it's sort of like being a coach, is to show the person that they are quite capable. They have hidden talents and gifts that they're quite capable of using. They just have to learn to discover those gifts, and recognizing that the discovery process can be a little messy now and then. that they're going to make some mistakes, but if they can, you know, learn something from it, then it was a good experience.
And that's so true, because in my experience, goal setting is goal setting. And there is no such thing as setting a bad goal. There is no child, no adolescent, no young adult, no person that I know that will willfully go out and set a bad goal for themselves. Set out to achieve something that it is not good.
And so
getting into the mindset of defining a goal and setting a goal, and then how exactly it is that, and I'm sure you'll tell us about that, that you can set the goal and then measure it and make sure that you're kind of keeping track with it, or, you know, it was a goal that, hey, I want to become a rock star, and, you know, I can sing, I can play an instrument, I don't have anything of what goes into becoming a rock star. That's not necessarily a realistic goal. So we create the vision, and let's just use your son as an example, and a word to our listeners: you're in for a treat, because as Chris walks you through that, you will then hear the gyrations that he has gone through with his son, and his son with his dad, and where Andrew is today, a place where parents and your talk show host, never having met Chris or Andrew, are immensely proud of him. And as you will learn, the country as a whole will soon be proud of him as well. So we're creating the vision. And then what comes next?
Well, here's where, you know, you've got, you know, I use the example, Chris, that, you know, we should all try to emulate the turtle, because a turtle moves forward by sticking his neck out. And so in order to, you know, if you create your vision and you want to start the journey, you have to learn to begin to take a risk. Not wild and crazy risks, but, you know, well thought out logical risks. And, you know, you mentioned before in the introduction about feeling comfortable being uncomfortable. When we take risks, alrighty, when we take risks, we're trying new behaviors, and that will make us uncomfortable. And some people, you know, make the choice that they won't go any further, and they stagnate, or they'll manage that risk and go further. They know they're going to be uncomfortable until they master what they're doing. And that in itself is the essence of what we need to try to coax our children to do. That if they don't feel comfortable doing something, but if it's something they really want to try to do, then they've got to walk through and push through that feeling of being uncomfortable. So you've set your goals, you've got the vision, and you start on your journey. And one of the things that I asked my son to do was to develop a plan. Now, again, how we all got here was, and again, at the middle of his freshman year, I get that dreaded call at 1 o'clock in the morning that no parent wants. And it started with Andrew saying to me, "Dad, I need you to be calm right now." You know, we're immensely proud of all of our kids, Christopher, our oldest, and Stephen. Andrew has brought us a little bit more adventure, if you will. But, and what he had done some dopey things, got in trouble in school, nothing serious, but enough that he was Navy ROTC, and he had an answer to them, and he had an underage drinking problem. You know, we've all been there. And that's what led to the conversation about, well, gee, Andrew, what do people think about you?
So, Chris, let me stop you right there, because I know where this is going, and I don't want to have to interrupt that later in a commercial break.
Okay.
So let me take a quick break now, and then we will be back. My guest is Chris Rissi, and this is Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epiciu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Tune in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living on voiceamerica.com every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Variety Channel. It's practical, positive solutions for a happy, empowered, and successful life.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epiciu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epiciu. My guest is Chris Risi. For information on this program and other activities, please visit my website, chrisepiciu.com, or cdochiefdaddyofficer.com. My Facebook page is Chris Epiciu, and on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. Throughout this hour, I look forward to hearing your questions, which you may call by dialing 1-866-472-5788. Or email your questions to me at chris@straightupwithchris.com. Also, please be sure to visit Chris's website, which is chrisrisi.com, and that is Chris, C-H-R-I-S, R-U-I-S-I.com. His Facebook page is Chris Risi, the coach, and follow him on Twitter at the Coach's Zone. So before the break, Chris was telling us that he had gotten a call from his son at the end of his freshman year, asking him to become nothing major, nothing life-threatening, but some dopey things that many freshmen do. And Chris, take it from there.
Okay, Chris. Yeah. So you know that event, if you will, led to a discussion we had just before his summer vacation about how people viewed him, what he thought, the people thought of him. And it wasn't very complimentary, and it bothered him. And I said, well, what do you want to do about it? And we talked about that, and the first thing we did was we created a picture of what he wanted to accomplish by his senior year. Again, he was Navy ROTC, and how we might go about doing that. And the more specific the picture was, the better he would be able to achieve it. You know, you need that clarity. Again, that's a critically important word. And the first thing we did after we created the vision was I helped Andrew create a block plan, which I do with my clients, where you allocate how you spend your time during the day. Now, I personally believe there's no such thing as time management because you can't manage time. It's all about what I call you management, your ability to manage the time you have available. So Andrew would look at every day, and he'd block out times for classroom, block out time for eating. I even had him block out time for doing nothing. Now, did he follow that schedule 100% of the time? Probably not. But if he was following it 50 to 60% of the time, he was learning to become a master of his circumstances. He knew that he had to get things done, and to establish credibility with himself that he could accomplish whatever goals he set out to achieve. And in terms of goals, one of the goals that he set for himself in order to bring his grades up was that he deliberately spent time visiting with his professors, asking questions. Now, these weren't, you know, make-up questions or time-wasting activities. It was a chance for him to get to know his professors and in turn for his professors to get to know him. Now, the next thing we did, Chris, was at the end of every semester, we used the tool, again, that I use with my clients, called watching the game films. Every, you know, professional sports team, especially now with the Super Bowl, you know, right in front of us, they look at their game films. They want to see what they did in one game and what they can continue or improve upon in the next game. So at the end of every semester, we looked at Andrew's goals, we looked at the things he had set out to accomplish, and we asked ourselves four questions, or he asked himself four questions. If I had to redo this semester based upon what took place, what would I start doing? What would I stop doing? What would I do more of? And what I would do less of? And from the answers of those four questions, he would build his plan and set his goals for the next semester moving forward. And that kind of got us closer to the vision. Maybe the vision needed to be adjusted based upon what was accomplished, but it kept him on a short, you know, focus leash, if you will, that he was focusing on each semester, that if he accomplished his goals, it would get him closer to his picture of where he wanted to be at graduation. So if you fast forward, came time to graduate, Andrew had significantly raised his grade point index to over 3.2. He was a 2.4 his freshman year. He had the opportunity to become battalion commander of 140 midshipmen from Boston College, Boston University, Tufts, MIT, and Harvard, and was awarded a sword for leadership, which the officers in his unit voted on as opposed to an automatic award. So he had accomplished everything he wanted. He became the go-to person. Now, that's, you know, how some of the things that I do worked with Andrew. And all I did as his coach was to, you know, carry the equipment bag and keep score. You know, he accomplished all of this on his own, but he had a plan. Did he follow it all the time? No. But he kept his goals, you know, written down in his pocket. So every time he reached in to get some money out to buy something, his fingers had to fumble around, and sometimes he pulled out the goal sheet and it reminded him of what he was supposed to be doing. And trust me, Andrew's a very social creature. There wasn't anything that he missed out on as a result of all this activity.
That is a very good point, that being organized and having your to-do list or your not-to-do list, whichever one might be the case, it doesn't necessarily mean that you dedicate yourself to that list, that you live every moment of your life following and tracking your goals and everything else. Because, again, in order for goals to be worth the paper they're written on, they have to be, some professor told me once, they have to be reasonable, they have to be realistic, they have to be attainable, and they have to be measurable.
That's
so
correct.
If you have those key factors on each one of your goals, it goes without saying, don't make a goal that's unrealistic. If a goal is unrealistic, you ain't going to get there.
Exactly.
No matter how much you wish for you to kind of get there, to my earlier example, if I want to be a rock star and I have nothing of what it takes to get there, that's not a realistic goal. So,
yeah, you know, exactly right. And one of the things I would work with, my wife and I would work with all of our kids, was that we weren't really interested in having children who were perfect. That, to me, perfect can be boring.
Or dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. We would just try to impress upon them the importance of just doing the best with what they had. And if they were lacking a skill that they needed to accomplish something, then they needed to go out and learn that skill. Perfect people tend to be procrastinators because it's never the right time to do something. They don't have everything they need and they put stuff off. So I just captured it all by saying perfect can be boring. You know, you need to, you know, as I mentioned before, you need to enjoy the ride.
That is absolutely true. Because it would be you would really want to kick yourself if you find yourself being 40, 45 years old, and now by all accounts, you're, you know, 50% of your years, if you live to be 90, you know, they're behind you, and you look back and you're saying, so exactly what have I done?
Yeah.
And this is not, this doesn't mean to be, I don't mean to suggest that one must go after fun and recklessness and things that, you know, give you the charge. I mean, there are moments that that's a good thing, but that's not a way of life.
Yep.
But you don't have to be reckless. You don't have to be, you know, running on fumes all the time to be a person that lives an interesting life or not a boring life.
Yep.
So, it is absolutely imperative for children to be children with their children, be young adults when they're young adults, be adults when they're adults, and enjoy every step of the way. Mm-hmm. And with that comes imperfection. And, you know, I'm sure that my daughter will be shocked to hear me say that, but, you know, I was imperfect as well.
No, I mean, the one thing I told all of my sons when they went off to college, I said, geez, don't be like me.
Yeah, exactly.
I said, I'll know what you're going to do a half hour before you do it, because I think I've tried to do it myself. And then, you know, that's just, but you know, you, I once learned, and I use this with my kids, I use it with my clients, that I might let you step off the curb to twist your ankle, but yep. I'll never let you fall out a window and kill yourself.
And that's a very, very good analogy.
You got to let, you know, we all have to learn from our mistakes. We all have to feel a little pain now and then for us to, you know, to learn. As I said, you know, maybe you'll be a little uncomfortable, but if you can manage being uncomfortable, you know, that's going to help you move forward. Because what happens, and I've seen this with kids and I've seen it in adults, we get to use the word that is probably the most dangerous four-letter word that we have in our vocabulary, the word can't. And once you start to use the word can't, you're putting yourself on a track to self-sabotage. You're setting lower expectations for yourself, and then you begin to meet those lower expectations. And what happens is, if you have lower expectations for yourself, you're communicating that to others, and then eventually they will expect less from you because they know that you know, you're not going to do any more. And that's when we get into things like, why didn't I get that raise? Why didn't I get that promotion? How come I wasn't picked to play the starting you know, guard on our high school basketball team? And that is such a dangerous thing for young people, adults as well, when you start to place limits on yourself. We all, you know, throughout our lives, we're all going to reach obstacles and barriers that we have to work through or around. And those are real barriers. You can see them, touch them, feel them, and you can always figure a way around them or an alternative course. The worst barriers, Chris, especially for a child, is the barriers that they create in their mind. Those are the hardest ones to deal with, and that's where you run the risk of self-sabotage. And it can be so devastating.
It can be so devastating, and suffice it to say that the point that you made earlier about setting their own expectations lower, that is, it's a vicious cycle, because the moment you set a lower expectation for yourself by saying, well, I can't do that, mm-hmm. you have now set that lower expectation as your new goal.
Yep.
Because you have now dropped a rung on that ladder all by yourself, and you did it to yourself. And better find a mirror to look at, because that's where you need to be kicking. And that is a very, very unfortunate thing, and it is 100% preventable.
Yep.
Let's talk more about that on the other side of the break. I'm
sure.
Chris FSCU. My guest is Chris Ricci. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah! If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu. My guest is Chris Racy. Please visit his website at chrisracy.com. Facebook page is Chris Racy the Coach, and follow him on Twitter at The Coaches Zone. For the break, we spoke about the importance of setting appropriate goals and, most importantly, avoiding the all too epidemic, I guess, word of can't. Allowing yourself, by repetition of hearing yourself say it over and over again, that you cannot, do not want to, or are not capable of trying something new. That, as Chris explained, tends to lower the expectations of yourself by setting a lower goal for yourself, and along with that, lowers the expectations of you by others. And that becomes a vicious cycle because somebody once said that if you undervalue your stock, you cannot expect the market to bid it up. So if you're selling yourself short, everybody else is going to short you too. So let's take it on from there, Chris.
Sure. You know, when you start to use the word or start to believe that you can't do things, what happens is the child, the adult, is creating a habit. And our habits define us. And as we all know, breaking a habit and changing a habit is a very difficult thing to do. It is doable, but it requires, some self-discipline and persistence. And what happens is, you want your kids to do well. You want your children to experience things the way they should be experienced. And part of that is their habits. And, we as parents, we serve many roles. I once said to my son Andrew, I said, my job is to care for and nurture your heart, mind, body, and soul. And I do different things at different times to meet that objective. You may not agree with it, but I'm on a mission. Andrew's comment was, that explains some of the weird things you do. But, in essence, a parent is a coach. They're a mentor. That's part of the responsibility. And what does a coach or mentor do? They help the person see what their abilities are and how to best use them. Now, in the process of being a mentor or a coach, we find ourselves sometimes in the position of having to critique. And the critique needs to be honest. It needs to be candid. Maybe it needs to be a little brutally blunt, but it can't be destructive. You can't impose, your critique can't reflect maybe your own shortcomings that you impose upon the child. And sometimes parents might do that. And if you see yourself happening that, because we're all human, you got to catch yourself right away. And sometimes, you know, it's better to think about what you want to critique before you open your mouth and the words come out. Because, you know, you're asking the child, this is, you know, as the child gets older, these are all new experiences. Every day is a brand new experience. And they're also, you know, susceptible to peer pressure of what their other friends might be doing, the kids in school, the kids they hang out with, whatever the case may be. And there I use the story that you never chase a skunk because the skunk has fun and you get smelly. And what I mean by that is if they're hanging out with the wrong person, and the skunk, if you will, they're going to develop some not-so-good habits. At the end of the day, all they've done is drop to the level of the skunk, and maybe that person enjoyed having that person, you know, drop to their level. But at the end of the day, your child is has to pay for it, and they get smelly, if you will. But the whole idea of, you know, mentoring your child to experience things that are reasonable, to experience things that cause them to take a risk, to learn that they are capable of doing things. You know, we're all born, Chris, with certain gifts and abilities and skills, and we don't use all of them. And I think our job as parents, my job as an executive coach, is to help my children or my clients see truly what the possibilities are, what they can accomplish. You know, going back to my older son is a physician, and you know, he went through, you know, a fair amount of education to arrive at that. And you know, there were times when he had to question himself, is this what I want to do? And my job was to guide him along the way, helping him to uncover the right questions to ask. You know, they reach a certain point in time in their age where I ain't going to be telling them what they can or can't do anymore, but what I have to do is lay out the possibilities. When Andrew started at BU and told us that he wanted to go NROTC, Navy ROTC, and eventually fly jets, I asked him, I said, well, gee, Andrew, that's a pretty, you know, noteworthy, goal. How do you feel about putting yourself possibly in harm's way? And the only reason I asked that question was because I couldn't tell Andrew that he couldn't participate in serving our country, but I wanted him to understand all of the ramifications and consequences of that. And we went through several, you know, discussions of that till I finally realized that this was something that he had to do, that he believed it was his role to do that. And I remember his commanding officer said to me when we first met, he goes, Mr. Luisi, how do you feel about Andrew possibly being in a combat situation? And I said, well, I'm not really happy about it. I don't know what parent would be. I said, but my job right now is to help him understand all the ramifications and consequences and pose questions for him that maybe he won't think about. And that, to me, is where, you know, a parent needs to be, depending upon where their child may be in their own career development, in their own choices of schools, whatever the case may be.
And for the benefit of our listeners, I just want to underscore here that Chris has just described the best definition of what a mentor is. A mentor does not take you by the hand and walk the walk for you, does not tell you what to do, when to do it, where to do it. But he walks next to you, sometimes behind you, less frequently ahead of you, holding the map and helping you navigate your course onto the map, because the mentor has walked that path before or one very similar to it and knows the waypoints and at the very least knows where the rough spots are. So for those who say, well, I don't know anything about mentoring, a parent is a mentor so long as you're not spoon-feeding your child and you're not cutting them loose. Anything that you're showing them by example, and you're helping them think through things that they do not have the maturity due to age or life experience and other such things, anything that you do to proactively help them build that inner confidence and inner self, that is absolutely developing another human being. That is the essence of mentorship.
That's a good point, Chris. You know, I often describe the role of a parent or a mentor and a coach needs to have the skin of a rhino but the heart of a guardian angel.
Isn't that true, though? That is exactly right. Lots more to talk about, but we've got a couple of questions that have come in from listeners by email.
Okay.
One is from Jake in Charleston. I'm assuming South Carolina, but there are many Charlestons. Chris, your program of goal setting, creating a vision, and follow-up is terrific. Have you ever had a client that has the goal but falls short on follow-through constantly? How do you help that client get beyond that and be successful?
Well, Jake, that's a real-life experience, trust me, because all of us tend to over-plan and maybe get a little bit too aggressive in our goals. And that falls under, I might let you, you know, step off the curb and twist your ankle. And when that happens, I ask a client to evaluate, well, what were the reasons why we fell short? Was it something we could control? Is it something that we should have thought about before? And how do we take that knowledge and move forward with it? And maybe we'll set a little bit more of a conservative goal. I want clients to get some early wins. I want them to start to feel good about what they're doing. So if we have to cut a goal in half to get that momentum going, that's perfectly okay because, you know, my role as their coach is, and I try to teach them this also, one of my eyes is a telescope that keeps the long-range picture in focus. One of my other eye is a microscope where we're keeping an eye on the details. So if you find yourself always falling short, ask yourself some real honest questions, and maybe you're shooting higher than you really should be at this point. And let's take a step back in order to build momentum to move forward.
That's a terrific answer. Another question comes from Dennis, and that is, Dennis is a deep thinker. Here it goes. Setting high expectations means hunting more opportunities. And if that is so, does being a hunter mean losing some sense of childhood?
Well, Dennis, hunters have fun, and that's what childhood is all about, having fun and learning. And if you find yourself losing that sense, I think you need to stop and take a step back and validate in your own mind why you do what you do. It's all well and good to have high expectations and achieve great things, but you have to ask yourself at what cost? You know, to you personally and maybe to those around you, your family, friends, whatever the case may be. I think it was, Ferris Bueller, the movie Ferris Bueller.
Yep.
I think he said, I'm not sure if I'm going to get this 100% correct, that life kind of moves by rather quickly, and if you don't stop now and then to enjoy it, you're going to miss some of the best parts of it.
That's entirely true, and I could not agree with you, Chris, more in your answer. I think that hunting is absolutely exhilarating and fun, and you could be hunting for birds or you could be hunting for rhinos. So long as you're having fun, that is the part that counts. And stop and smell the roses. It is a must at any adult ages. When we come back from break, I'm going to ask Chris to tell us how his son Andrew has fared after the planning and goal setting and everything else his dad put him through, so that you can perhaps see the validity of Chris's words and apply this to your own children. We'll do that as soon as we come back from break. Stay with us. And Chris Racy and myself, Chris Effacio, will be back in a moment.
News. Opinion.
Hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Efesiou understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris. Real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Chris Ricci. His website is chrisricci.com. Facebook page, Chris Ricci the Coach. Follow him on Twitter at The Coach's Zone. We have been talking about mentoring and the importance of a parent being a mentor to the child and what proper mentorship is. But Chris, in your professional day-to-day life, if you will, you are teaching, guiding executives how to stretch to a point of reaching their full capabilities, and that also includes an uncomfortable point for most of us that you are asking them to master, and that is mastering being comfortable feeling uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Sure. You know, like as I said before, you know, we all were born with certain gifts and talents, and we don't use all of them. Maybe we're fearful of that. We're uncomfortable. We get into our own little comfort zone. But when I talk about stretching, it's about stretching the parameters or the limits of your own comfort zone, your mind, and seeing possibilities of what you could accomplish if you began to use those gifts. I call them gifts, you know, the skills and abilities. So when you start to do that is when you start to feel a little uncomfortable, unsure of yourself. And you know, those first few steps are the most critical ones. And it's a function, Chris, of, you know, in terms of mastering being uncomfortable, it's a function of how strong your skill is or habit is in the area of self-discipline. The best definition of self-discipline that I've ever read was knowing what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, even though you don't feel like doing it. And that's the last part is the kicker. That's when people get distracted and stop pursuing learning and applying and using those new skills and to stretch the limits of their comfort zone. You know, I'm a little bit familiar. I've read a lot, you know, recently on Navy SEALs. Navy SEALs, and they train, they spend almost 75% of their time in the water.
Mm-hmm.
That's uncomfortable. But to be successful, they know they have to master that feeling. So while, you know, all of us aren't going to be Navy SEALs, what's the environment that you're in that you feel uncomfortable in but that you know you can push yourself through it and master it in order to reach whatever level of success you've set as a goal?
Mine had always been public speaking, and from what I do today is a fair amount of public speaking, and I'm hosting a radio show. Therefore, you know, you kind of push yourself through that, and you know, in a weird kind of way, once you've done it once or twice and you have not fallen flat in your face, then you begin to enjoy it, and then it gets to be real fun.
Yeah, if you can ask yourself the question, well, what's the worst possible outcome here? And if you can live with that worst possible outcome, then by God, pursue it. I mean,
that's
really, you know, in most audiences, if you're a public speaker, at least from my experience, you've already got an advantage because the audience thinks you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, my disadvantage was that English is not my native language, and having come here 36 years ago without a word of knowledge in this language, it was kind of daunting the first time you get up there and people think that you know that you do know what you're talking about, and then all of a sudden in your own mind, the gap of where you are to the bottom of that ravine that you're likely to fall if mm-hmm. you screw up, it becomes a whole lot larger. But then again, that's when you become very, or most of us become very adept at avoiding that fall, because there are other ways of getting around it.
Yep. There's always a solution. It's the ability that we have to learn and develop, which you have to teach your children in terms of mentoring them, to look for that solution. Don't take the easy road, because sometimes the easy road ends in a quicker dead end than you'd like.
And if it doesn't end in a quicker dead end, if it ends at a reasonable end, it doesn't feel that great. I mean, you know, it's like arm wrestling with a baby.
Yep.
Okay, so you're going to win. You're expected to. But what have you really done?
Exactly.
I mean,
right.
Are you proud of it? Have you accomplished something? That is there any person alive that didn't think that you were going to see that outcome? So, you know, the end, what the end goal is, in my mind, it has to be something that, you know, you need to be proud of to make it worthwhile and worthwhile achieving, worthwhile trying to achieve. Otherwise,
yep.
You know, it's...
If you don't challenge yourself, you're selling yourself short of a world of experiences. And every time you solve a problem, you earn the right to solve a bigger one. And that's how we climb the ladder. That's how we climb the steps of success. It's how we move forward on our journey through life. And it's that idea that we all have a responsibility to teach our children.
That's very, very well said. And I know that our listeners are wondering about your son, Andrew. And here's the kid who, at age, you know, freshman in college, puts that call into you, and then you've got the talk, and he's got the little goal-setting sheet in his pocket, and grades are going up, battalion commander of his class, gets an award voted on by his peers. Tell us what Andrew is doing today.
Well, Andrew wanted to do aviation, and that was his goal. Once he got out of college, once he got commissioned as an ensign in the Navy, and he worked hard, went through all the phases of flight school, and was able to hit all his goals. And today he's an F-18 Super Hornet pilot, and specifically today he is finishing up doing his carrier qualifications, learning. You know, he has to land his F-18 on an aircraft carrier right now somewhere out in the Atlantic, anywhere from 8 to 10 times in the daytime and 6 to 8 times in the evening. So he is, you know, fulfilling his dream and, you know, filling a position like all of the brave men and women in our military to help protect our country.
I could not be prouder of hearing this story. I know you, the father and mom, could not be prouder in what you have mentored him to become. Kudos to him. You know, hope he flies in the wings of angels every single time he's up in the air. And Chris, I want to thank you for your time, words, and wisdom. And I hope that you come back as my guest one more time soon.
Chris, I appreciate the opportunity, and thanks so much. I enjoyed it immensely.
Thank you. I hope you join me next week to discuss collaboration versus teamwork, lessons from Thomas Edison, with my guest, Sarah Miller Caldicott, the great-grandniece of Thomas Edison, and innovation process expert, an author, and CEO of The Power Patterns of Innovation. So tune in to find out exactly what she has to tell us next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 p.m. West, on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk for Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. Let's talk more next week. I'm Chris Efesiou. Thanks for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Efesiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.